This morning, the message is going to be a little bit different. I don't have any notes on my podium, which is a little terrifying. You more than me, I think. And we're going to open up with a scripture, but I'm not going to tell you where it's at. But it's in there. I'm reading out of my Bible here. And we're going to see where this goes today, all right? So, it says, "The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are good. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. And I pray today, Lord, you open our hearts. Let us hear from you. Lord, I pray your spirit encourages us, blesses us. I pray we learn more of you today. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. It's true. But there's a difficulty, though, because sometimes we go, yeah, if God's so good, then why is that happening? And that's bad, and that's not good, and that's horrible, and I can't believe this is occurring. We stack this evidence against God. It's got to be true. Yeah, I know this thing, you know, it's like the internet. If it's on the internet, it must be true. If it's in the Bible, it's got to be true. Here it is, God is good. But God, I don't see it. Let me show you what's going wrong. And we can stack the evidence against God of all the difficulties that are going on in our lives, in today, in this day and age that we're living in. But God is good. It's hard to believe. It's hard to trust. It's hard to put our faith behind that. But it's in the Bible, and we need to draw some encouragement. Our series we're going through is God Is, and we're looking at different characteristics of God, and we're going to be looking at how God is good. Now, when you read this, you know, hopefully nobody did any cheating. I see some on their cell phones, maybe doing a little search sort of thing. Did he make up that scripture? So if he didn't search it, what do you think? Who would write such an encouraging thing? God is good. The Lord is good. It sounds like maybe a Moses type thing or Abraham, a trait. Maybe God, knowing that God is good. But it's an optimistic type thing, right? Maybe that's David. David wrote a lot in the Psalms of how good God was. And that could be lyrical. We've got lots of songs, and there's many other scriptures about how the Lord is good. But maybe it's a song. Well, in fact, this is actually lyrics to a song, but not a praise and worship hymn that David wrote. In the Old Testament, we are given four major prophets, those that spoke on behalf of the Lord. It's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And one of those prophets was a young man called by God, roughly about the age of 17, and his name was Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah he grew up in Jerusalem, in Judah. That was his place. He loved his country. He loved his Lord. He loved his city. But God called him at a young age to be a prophet, to declare his word. And the message God had is, Jeremiah, you need to let Judah know that their hearts are hard, that they're evil, they're rebellious. They're turning from me. They need to return to me. That's what I want you to tell them. And that was Jeremiah's ministry. I'm going to read to you out of my Bible, the little preface before the book of Jeremiah, what they have to say, this author has to say about Jeremiah. By the normal standards of, By normal standards, Jeremiah was a miserable failure. Huh. It's a good start. For 40 years, he served as God's spokesman to Judah. But when Jeremiah spoke, nobody listened. Consistently and passionately, he urged them to act, but nobody moved. And he certainly did not attain material success. He was poor and underwent severe deprivation to deliver his prophecies. He was thrown into prison and into a cistern, and he was taken to Egypt against his will. He was rejected by his neighbors, his family, the false prophets and priests, his friends, his audience, and the kings. Throughout his life, Jeremiah stood alone, declaring God's message of doom
announcing the new covenant and weeping over the fate of his beloved country, in the eyes of the world, Jeremiah was not a success. What a great summary of his life. One of the major prophets. And he was a failure, an utter failure in the eyes of the world. And it says he was it says the word weeping. And Jeremiah many times is known as the weeping prophet. So for 40 years, Jeremiah would preach of the coming destruction of Judah and Jerusalem. And he would tell the people, repent, return to God. And they wouldn't listen. For 40 years. And he pens this book of Jeremiah, talking about this over and over and over again of the hardships that he went through trying to deliver this message, but they rejected it. And eventually that day came where Babylon comes in and they destroy the city, they kill the people, they torture the people, and they take Sikkim into captivity. The day he had been talking about for 40 years finally came, and they all saw the destruction. And he's called the weeping prophet because he wept throughout that ministry and he wept at that point. But the book of Jeremiah is not where we get our reading today. Because is there anything good in that? No, Jeremiah was a bit of a success because he wrote two books. The book following the book of Jeremiah is a book called Lamentations. To lament, which means to declare or to talk about sorrow and grief. If Jeremiah wasn't a horrible book, he wrote a more difficult one. Because after the destruction, he writes again about what has occurred. He looks back, and his heart must be in anguish because he's looking at, I gave you an opportunity, people. You saw this was coming, and yet you did nothing. And then he sits there and he laments. He's in great grief and sorrow. And Lamentations is actually what's considered a dirge. It's a song, but it's a sad, sad song coming of being poor. And it's in the middle of this, after 40 years of seeing the destruction coming, of being poor, being thrown in a cistern in prison and all these different things, and then seeing his city and his country destroyed, taken off into captivity, he pens another letter, or pens another book. He writes a song, and in the middle of it, he says, the Lord is good. This guy maybe got hit upside the head when they dropped him in the cistern. He's not seeing too clearly because this story is not good. He can point out all the difficulties that are around him. He could easily prove that God is not good, but the Lord is good. I'm going to give you some homework this week, church. As we look back at 2020, it was interesting, difficult, terrible, worst ever year. We saw some things, we experienced some things, we went through some difficulties that we've never gone through before. And it's like, and as we look at it, it seems like the first stone in a new foundation. What's 2021 going to be like? The trajectory that we're on doesn't look too hopeful. I could pen a song, a dirge, about 2020. But I want to give you homework, some homework, church. This week, I challenge you, find one person. If it's family, that's fine. But I challenge you to maybe a friend, a coworker. I want you to tell them how God was good in 2020. And don't make something up. Because God is good. And if we look, we'll find it. Since I'm teaching, I'll go first. When I was 16 years old, I was at Fusion Bible Camp. At that time, it was in Osceola, Wisconsin. And on the third or fourth night, the speaker was up there. We had had worship and a message, and there was an altar call. And God wants to bring. It was a very good time. The presence of God was there. And he grabbed the mic and he said, I feel like God wants to bring healing tonight. So if any of you need healing, I encourage you to come over here. And I bolted for that spot. And there was about 12 of us. And we kind of stood in a group. And he says, I'm not going to lay hands on you, but I'm going to pray for you. And as I'm praying, I want you to say out loud or speak to the Lord the thing or things you need healing for. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to allow God to work. And the presence of God was thick, kind of like a fog. It was weighty. It was all around me, and I was excited. God's going to do something. And I remember standing there, just a group of about 12 of us, like I said, kind of shoulder to shoulder. And I started repeating over and over again, God, heal my head, heal my feet. Heal my head, heal my feet. Heal my head, heal my feet. Since about the third grade, I had suffered from migraines and headaches. I don't know how it started, but it began there. And I know it was the third grade because elementary years, my mom was trying to figure out what are these things that trigger your migraines. And she thought it was chocolate. And so I could bring a chocolate cup. And apparently all my classmates knew this too, because at birthdays when they bring in cupcakes, they'd always bring in chocolate cupcakes. But they'd have one vanilla for me because they knew, oh, Jason can't have chocolate. It wasn't chocolate, but in about third grade, and I don't know the frequencies. I can't remember in elementary years, junior high, high school. I can't remember the frequencies. But it was enough for me to come with tears in my eyes as a freshman at a camp saying, God, heal my head. And I also, I didn't know it at that time, I had severe eczema on my feet. And I didn't know what it was at that point. I do know what it was since then. And if you've ever had eczema on your feet, there's only one thing that makes it feel better. That's to scratch them. Because you scratch the eczema, oh, it just feels so good. And then all of a sudden it's on fire and it burns and hurts constantly on my feet, constantly. And so I stood at the altar saying, God, heal my head, heal my feet, heal my head, heal my feet. And the preacher, he prayed and he said or did something, and it was like a Mack truck came and bowled us all over, all 12 of us. Fell backwards onto the ground, and we call that slain in the spirit. And you're kind of out for a little bit. And when I came to, again, feeling the presence of God, I was so excited. I'm like, God just hit me with His power. I go back home after camp, and I'm not healed. God, where is the healing? My feet still burn, and I still have headaches. I go into my adult years, and I understood my frequencies. 3, 4, 5 headaches a week. 1, 2, or 3 migraines a month. Now, migraines, headaches are bad enough as it is, but a migraine, for me, bright lights, loud noises, smells, nauseous. Sometimes I could just lay around all day just because I couldn't even stand up, feeling sick to my stomach. That was my way of life. And it was difficult, and I found one thing that helped me cope a little bit. No, not like alcohol or crack or anything like that. When I started taking Excedrin migraine, because it would either ease the headache or sometimes eliminate the headaches, unless it was a migraine. Nothing could take that away. And again, for Excedrin during the day, you take 1 or 2 of them. And if I had 3, 4, 5 headaches a week, I'd be taking up to 10 Excedrin a week. Now, Excedrin has a few ingredients. One is acetaminophen, which there's questions about what does that do to your liver. And then there's aspirin, which like thins out your blood. Another issue I have, you're getting my whole story of my issues, is I get easy nosebleeds. And when you take aspirin, you thin your blood out, and you get a nosebleed, it gets really bad. There is one day my kids were wondering, they're all like young toddlers, and they're like, how can you have any more blood in you, Dad? Because I had the worst nosebleed I've ever had. And the last thing it has is lots of caffeine. Caffeine's good, right? Well, if you take too much caffeine, it can weaken that little flappy thing in here that keeps all the acid down. And so I was taking something to sometimes alleviate my headaches, but it didn't always work. Fast forward to 2010. Again, my wife had with headaches. And in 2010, I got the swine flu. Now, some of you have had COVID, and I've heard different stories. Some of them you didn't even know you had it. Some, it's been one of the worst things. The swine flu was the worst cold flu I've ever had. For 1 week, I was out, and it was the worst sore throat I have ever had. And at the end of it, when I was just starting to get better, I got a double ear infection, and I think even one of my ears was bleeding. Again, my kids are looking at me going, Dad, what is wrong with you? And after I somewhat recovered, I went back to church, and I was a worship leader. And I remember on a Thursday night, we were practicing, and we're singing and stuff, and we all have like a range of notes that we sing. There's like 13 to 20 half notes or whatever, some a range of our singing range. And right in the middle, I had three notes that I couldn't hit. My ear could hear it, but I couldn't get my voice. Now, I've been a vocalist my whole life. I couldn't get my voice to match it. And I thought, it must be this double ear infection. I think I'm just not hearing right. So a week or two goes by, and I still can't do it. I can hear it. I just can't get my voice to match up on a job. And yet, it's not working. And I had a vocalist, a guy who part of a on a worship team. It was a barbershop quartet. He was the vocal guy. Well, he paid for and sent me to a university to see one of their music teachers there. And he gave me some exercise and tried some things, and he's like, yeah, that is really weird, and he gave me some exercises to take home. It didn't work. And I remember it was a Thursday. I remember being in my office. I had just practiced on my own for worship, and I'm like, this isn't getting any better. I can't sing. So I called the local hospital and said, I got a vocal issue. Oh, we'll bring you into the ENT, the ear, nose, and throat doctor. And I went in there, and I explained to the doctor what's going on. He says, all right, let's scope you. And I said, excuse me? What do you mean? What's going on here? And he says, well, we're going to take this long, flexible camera and shove it in your nose and put it down your throat. And I said, sir, and you can verify with my family, I have the worst gag reflex in the world. He says, oh, no, it'll be fine. And so he tries to put the thing in, tries again, didn't work. And I remember he was sitting on the edge of his stair. He leaned forward and let out a sigh. And he goes, I have never not been able to pass a scope. And I was sitting there going, yes. Told you, gag reflex. Anyways, it's a long story. But he eventually gets to work, and they take a look. He takes a look, and I've got nodes. I've got like blisters on my vocal cords. He's like, ah, that's what it is. Typically what we do is there's a few different things, but many times it's a surgery. You know, we burn them off with a laser. Oh, that sounds like fun. But before we do that, I've got to recommend you to speech therapy because insurance stuff. You know how that goes. Speech therapy, it's all fine. So I go to speech therapy for a couple months, and they teach me how to talk. And they're like, wow, you put a lot of strain on here. You need to talk softer, and you need to do things that don't put strain on your voice, you know, like being a pastor and a youth leader and a worship leader, you know, and you need to talk. They taught me how to talk. Didn't work very well. So I went back to the doctor, and they said, okay, we'll do surgery. And so we did, this was early January 2000. So they went in, put me out, and they burned off the nodes, and for like a month, I shouldn't or couldn't really talk, which was awesome, because I don't really like to talk. And at the end of the month, I came back, and I was excited. Okay, here it comes. I got healing. It didn't work. I still couldn't match those notes. And it went a couple months like that. I'm like, okay, this isn't getting better. So I went to Frederick University Hospital in Milwaukee. And I went there, and the doctor's like, well, I need the scopia. And I said, yeah, let me tell you a story. Oh, no, it's a good long story. It didn't work out very well, but eventually I get scoped, and they're going, yeah, there appears to be some irritation in there, but I can't quite see. The nodes are gone. Let me recommend you to our vocal therapist. So I went to their vote. Again, I had to go back home and then drive 2 hours back to Milwaukee for a different appointment, and I saw a vocal therapist who we started doing some exercise, and she said, do me a favor, stand up. And I stood up, and I stood there, and I don't know if you guys can see it. It was the first time ever. She, really? I didn't know that. And so we started looking at it, and she's like, you know, I wonder if that's just throwing everything out of whack. I'm going to recommend you to a physical therapist. I've had a lot of therapists in my life. So I go to a physical therapist, and we're going to try to get this all back into order, exercises and stretches and stuff. Didn't work. And so I put up with that for a while. Again, vocal issues, still got headaches, still have the foot issue. And so I'm like, all right, well, let's try this again. So I went to Marshfield Clinic, and I went there, and the lady's like, well, let me scope you. I'm like, let me tell you a story. That's a long, good story. But out of it, she's like, you know, I see there is some irritation in there. And I explained my headaches and stuff like that. And she said, why don't I recommend you to one of our neurologists? And let's see, you know, maybe this Excedrin is causing issues. Let's see if we can get you diagnosed and do something else. And she said, but also it could be some other form of irritation. Maybe it's allergies or maybe it's acid reflux. And so I saw a neurologist, so he gave me some drugs for it. And then I went to the allergist, where they poke you in the back like 30 times to see if you're allergic to anything. Nope, not allergic to anything. And so out of that, they're like, well, let's see if it's acid reflux. So they started giving me pills for headaches and pills for acid reflux. And I saw a minor improvement. And I went for months like that, and I got to the point of, I don't want to take pills the rest of my life for a minor improvement. And I kind of just quit taking those things. Fast forward to 2018. I know there's probably a few triggers for my headaches. One is my neck, and I've seen chiropractors my whole life. I've had about 6 of them. Also, my diet. You know, again, it could be acid reflux or what, or I don't know. There's these things that could trigger it. And finally, there's stress. A little town called Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, 2018. And early 2019, I start seeing a new chiropractor who has some different adjustments and some different stretches in it that I've never had before. And I also find that, you know, oddly enough, I find it a little less stress being the senior pastor than I did in other positions I've had, which just boggles my mind. Who knows, maybe that's called the will of God. I'm not sure. And then I tried to kick caffeine a little bit, try to get rid of sugar and stuff in my life. Started making some adjustments, and things started to improve. Improved so much so that we get up to 2020 and I can't remember having headaches. I could go months without headaches. And then COVID hit. 2020. That year that we wish we could all forget. And I could go through, we all had struggles. Personally, I had struggles. Your church is shut down. You can't meet. What do we do? About the same time, Brother Dave Anderson, 2020, great year, right? Diagnosed with cancer. And that was right before COVID. But we went and we saw the doctor. We felt confident. We were going to do radiation. And he had to go for 40 sessions or something like that, 48. And then COVID hit and we shut everything down. We shut down the church. We shut down Bible studies. And I prayed for all you guys. Dave was heavy on my heart. Because Dave also had another struggle, which was depression, his whole life. And I really worried for Dave because he couldn't come to church and couldn't come to Bible study, and he was fighting cancer. He couldn't be around people. Dave needs people. And then we start kind of coming back, and eventually Dave is the radiation worked. We're reading something, I think we're in the book of Acts or something like that, and there was something about a declaration. And Dave was talking about how it was amazing during this season where everything shut down, depression wasn't grabbing at him. And I started to reminisce of, you know, I haven't had headaches in months. And I looked at Dave and I said, Dave, I think you and I are making a fatal flaw, a fatal mistake. Neither you and I have enough faith to say, I'm healed. I said, I want to say it. This was last year. I've been healed from headaches. And that was hard to say. It was hard to point at God and say, God, you're good. Because what if? What if they come back? What if I'm really not healed? But I said it. And Dave went away and he came back the next week and he said, I had a powerful week. And he says, I want to say it too. I've been healed of depression. And you had a vision where it was like a cap was put over that pit of depression. It's been sealed. and we declared God is good. In 2020, a horrible year, I was healed last year. And it was about October and November this last year. I remember getting up in the morning, I was putting on socks, and I looked at my feet, and it hit me. Every day, either creams or it's on fire, dealing with it every day. But I put on the socks that day, and I'm like, I don't remember the last time my feet itched or burned or they were red. And I sat there trying to go, when did this happen? And I sat there and I went, God, you're so good. In 2020, worst year ever, for 26 years of my life, I've been praying, God, heal my head, heal my feet, heal my head, heal my feet. And he healed my head, well, mostly. And he healed my feet. You know, I could sit here and go through the list like Jeremiah of all the bad things that are happening, that are going to continue to happen. And do we see destruction in the future? Maybe. Good. But I'm going to say, the Lord is good to those who depend on him and to those who search for him. You see, the trouble is God is good, but we're not necessarily searching for it. Because we're looking at the trembling, the shaking. We're looking at the walls falling apart. We're looking at our country, our nation. We're looking at our politics. We're looking at our health. We're looking at our finances. And we're going, this is horrible. But you're not searching for God. Whether you search for him or not, God is good. But he's really good to us when we depend upon him, when we search for him. Can you look back at a year and find where God was good? I'm pretty sure there's a lot of good in this last year. And that is worth declaring. That is worth sharing. That is worth testifying to others. Because everyone else is looking at 2020 and now into 2021 going, this is horrible. I don't know where this is headed. This is only getting worse. Some people. And they need someone to come along and sit in the Bible study during lunch. Firm. God's good. They need someone to come and sit across the table during lunch and say, yeah, it was bad, but you know what? God is good. Because he is, but we don't always see it. It's hard to see because of our focus being on all other things. But I encourage you, church, search for him and you'll find him. I just gave you two things that happened to me. I could spend all day telling more, and I bet you could do the same. But this is what a family does. This is what a church does, is we need to encourage each other. Even before you leave today, just pull someone aside. Say, God is good. You know what he did to me in 2020? He did for me. Share it. You know, who knows? Next week, you're going to all be like, God's good. Packers are in the Super Bowl. Funny story. February 6, 2011, I think that was a Sunday that y'all were really, really happy last time. That was the same Sunday. That was my first Sunday back from my vocal surgery. And I was ordained a minister on that day, exactly 10 years ago. I'm not trying to give you hope because I don't want to give you hope there, but, you know, who knows. But honestly, and even laughing and chuckling, oh, it's so good because God's good. There are things that we can look at and we declare. Church, do your homework. Share the love of Christ to those you work with, to those in the community. There are people that are homeless. There are people that have mental health issues. There are people that are in great need. Share the love of God. Bring goodness to them because God is good. And maybe we can't see it from him, but if we look at each other, we can bring a little of God's goodness to each other. God
is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Amen? Let's pray. God, I love you. Oh, I love you, God. And Lord, I'd say for 26 years, I loved you. Something's not right. But there was always this clawing at me, this little, something's not right. But Lord, I don't think it was you. I think it was me. And Lord, I think I searched for 26 years to get into your ultimate will. And even here, like Jeremiah, Lord, there's ups and downs. There's good days and bad. But Lord, your goodness was with me all along. And Lord, like an archaeologist, like a treasure hunter, Lord, I want to find you. I want to depend upon you. I want to search for you. Because when I do that, Lord, you are so good. Lord, there is bad in this world, and I pray, Lord, for your will. I pray for your blessings. I pray for your favor. I pray for hearts to turn to you. Lord, there is bad, but Lord, there is so much good, and you never run out of goodness. You're a good father, and you know how to give good things to your children. We are your children when we accept Jesus Christ. We are set free. We are grafted into your family, and to your family, Lord, you are good because we are searching for you. But Lord, there are many around us that do not know your goodness. They don't see it. But Lord, it's there if they would search. And Lord, give us the challenge to declare, to testify, to show people the love of Christ, to show them the cross, to show them you, so that they can begin to see your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that your word says God is good. I thank you for Jeremiah and through all the terrible things he went through. If his hand was shaken and his heart was heavy and he was injured or malnourished, Lord, he penned, "The Lord is good." And I thank you for those that have gone before me. Tell me how good they are. I thank you for my brother Dave, sharing that God is good. I thank you, Lord, for others that have encouraged me. And Lord, I want to encourage others. Give us this challenge this week, Lord, to share your goodness with others and show yourself good to us. Lord, we're going to, no matter what comes, no matter what falls, what's built up, Lord, we're going to search for you and we're going to bask in your goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name.